Last night, on my orders, America's armed forces began strikes against ISIL targets in Syria.
America! America! America!
The people we are fighting today, we funded.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
ISIS has grabbed up from the U.S., from the Saudis, from the Qataris, weapons by the truckload. And we are now forced to fight against our own weapons. And this body wants to throw more weapons into the mix.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's December 18th, 2014, and that's exactly right. America, yeah, where we let other countries tell us how to make our movies. And not only do we let them tell us how to make our movies like Iron Man 3 or Red Dawn, now they say, we don't want you to air this movie, we just won't air it. And now we have the article, Paramount cancels Alamo Drafthouse's Team America screening. Reportedly, Paramount Pictures has decided not to let the theater chain show the movie at all. Alamo Drafthouse sent a message telling their customers that the screening would not take place due to circumstances beyond their control. See, what had happened was that Seth Rogen and Jane Franco, they made this little movie called The Interview, in which they go in to assassinate Kim Jong-un, and it's my understanding there's some type of orgy scene in it. I wouldn't know because the movie's not supposed to be released. Because that's what happens here in America. We have so much freedom. We let foreign entities show us how to make our movies and also how to promote them or play them at all. You guys recall Iron Man 3 and also Red Dawn. They got censored and remade because the Chinese audience didn't like them as they are. Now Kim Jong-un and his camp supposedly are threatening hack attacks, or I guess already had hack attacks, here in the States because of a movie. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. That's like saying the innocence of Muslims caused the Benghazi attacks. I don't buy that one bit. But for more on how this hack attack may not be all that it seems, here's Paul Joseph Watson.
The US government has stridently asserted that North Korea was almost certainly responsible for the Sony hack, with no evidence whatsoever. Look at this New York Times headline. US said to find North Korea ordered cyber attack on Sony. American officials have concluded that North Korea was centrally involved in the hacking of Sony Pictures computers. Now, if we actually had a real media in the United States, the headline would be something like, no evidence backs up US claim that North Korea ordered cyber attack on Sony. But because this is the New York Times, which is basically a press release outlet for the White House, we get a headline like this. And it's actually not until halfway down the article that we read, it is not clear how the United States determined that Mr. Kim's government had played a central role in the Sony attacks. In other words, there's no evidence whatsoever to back up this claim. As Wired News' Kim Zeta reports, the evidence that North Korea hacked Sony is flimsy. Sony and the FBI have announced that they've found no evidence so far to tie North Korea to the attack. In fact, the only evidence that really does indicate anything is that this hack attack on Sony Pictures was an inside job. As TMZ reports, the people at Sony who are investigating believe the hackers had intimate knowledge of mail systems and their configurations. They also believe the hackers have knowledge of the internal media distribution systems and the internal IT systems, including human resources and payroll. And they're suggesting that there could be a link between the huge number of Sony layoffs that have taken place recently and an aggrieved employee that could have been responsible for this hack. The FBI also suspects that the hack was the work of a disgruntled worker and that even though the Guardians of Peace group has taken responsibility for breaking into Sony's servers, the group had to have had help from someone familiar with the infrastructure. And after Sony announced yesterday that it would pull the movie The Interview from all cinemas, Paramount followed suit by announcing that Team America, which of course also insults North Korea, would be pulled from theatres nationwide. But amidst the myriad of accusations and theories as to who is responsible for this hack, be it North Korea or some kind of inside job by a disgruntled employee, here's what they're not telling you. The two previous cyber attacks that caused anywhere near the alarm created by this Sony hack were done by the US government. When Alex Jones accused the United States of being behind the Stuxnet virus attack back in 2010 in order to grease the skids for draconian cybersecurity measures, he was labelled a conspiracy theorist. 2 years later, it emerged that the US and Israel were almost certainly responsible for the attack. And again, we saw the same thing with the flame virus aimed at targeting Iran's nuclear program. It was a conspiracy theory to blame this on the United States and Israel. Lo and behold, the Washington Post subsequently reported US-Israel developed flame computer virus to slow Iranian nuclear efforts. But of course, at the time, the blame was solely pinned on foreign actors like Russia, just as it is being pinned on North Korea now with the Sony hack, in order to justify draconian cybersecurity measures like the ones that Joe Lieberman called for in giving the White House the same power as China to censor and shut down the internet. So what do we see now with the Obama administration saying that North Korea is responsible with no evidence whatsoever, that this is a national security matter, and that it reiterates the fact that Congress should pass the cybersecurity bill. So now we see this being exploited. Politicians respond to Sony hack, call for cybersecurity bill. Cybersecurity legislation that has repeatedly stalled in Congress is now looking set to get the green light in the aftermath of this Sony hack. John McCain said in a statement, Congress as a whole must also address these issues and finally pass long overdue comprehensive cybersecurity legislation. And just by coincidence, Obama State Department official Catherine Novelli was meeting with China's internet censorship czar. This is the guy overseeing the Great Firewall of China, the infamous government censorship program over the entire web. She was meeting with him at an event in Washington, urging cooperation on cybersecurity between the United States and China. While, of course, the Obama administration moves to reclassify the internet under the Telecommunications Act, making it susceptible to FCC control, greasing the skids for government oversight and regulation of the web. So isn't it convenient that right at the time the cybersecurity legislation is stalled in Congress, as the Obama administration shows its desperation to regulate the internet, now we have this convenient Sony hack that can be used to grease the skids for tightened control. But what do you think? Am I a conspiracy theorist for even daring to suggest this premise? Just as I was labelled a conspiracy theorist for saying the US was behind Stuxnet and Flame, which later proved to be the case. Or do you think that this is the work of a disgruntled employee, the work of a foreign actor like North Korea? Or is a wider conspiracy afoot? Let me know what you think in the comments below. I'm Paul Joseph Watson reporting for Infowars.com.
Hans Briggs! Oh no! Oh, hello. Great to see you again, Hans.
Cuba move comes as Russia tries to revive ties to Havana. President Obama's surprise economic and diplomatic opening to Cuba Wednesday comes at a time when Vladimir Putin's Russia has been trying to revive Moscow's once close ties to the Castro regime, a longtime ally of the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Mr. Putin has received support from the Castro regime in Russia's skirmishes with Ukraine this year. But with Russia's economy cratering this week, Cuba appears to be looking elsewhere for more stable economic support, experts say. So we see Russia, they're making friends with Cuba, they're making friends with China, going all around the world, doing the best they can to build up their friends, while us here in the U.S., we're doing everything we can to distance people, to make them mad, to bomb their countries, to tap their diplomats' phones and so forth. So, you know, I'm not at all happy that Russia is gaining a foothold of the place in the world, but here in the United States, we're not doing anything to really stop them. The only thing we're doing is supposedly poking the bear, so to speak. So let's talk about somebody poking the First Amendment. It's happening in Tennessee. Tennessee City outlaws the First Amendment. In South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, the city council recently voted 4-1 to approve an all-inclusive social networking policy aimed at discouraging criticism of the government. It outlaws the exercise of the First Amendment for all city elected representatives, appointed board members, employees, volunteers even, vendors, contractors, and anyone else associated with the town in any official capacity to use social networks. So, you know, yes, we've seen many people come out with controversial statements. The guy up in Washington, the deputy, he said we need these MRAPs and these military vehicles to combat the constitutionalists, the people with all the guns. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. And other controversial statements made all around the country as well. So I understand why they want to have a somewhat of a policy, but to say that we're just going to pretty much blacklist your free speech because you work for our city, that's taking it a bridge too far. This city definitely needs to rethink their policy and stop telling their employees, especially the volunteers. I cannot believe they have volunteers that you cannot use social media without their consent. Completely ridiculous. And something else is completely ridiculous. California and the paramilitary training that's going on out there. And it says California Highway Patrol describes itself as a paramilitary organization. And this is a great article by Paul Joseph Watson, but let's hit the bullet points. Let's take a look at these sections, the screenshots here. It says, is this job for you? Are you willing to work in a paramilitary organization operating under structured chain of command? So that's what they're telling you right there. You know, this is a paramilitary organization. You know, do you have all the skills? Do you have what it takes? It's not, you know, the blue uniforms and walking around and buying the kids ice cream cones. No, are you ready to do whatever it takes? Are you ready to use military tactics on people in your own neighborhood? Let's continue here. California Highway Patrol is often described as paramilitary department. They said, yes, that's true. Okay, and also going down, it says recruiting America's best to be California's finest. Former military personnel easily fit into CHP's workforce and adapt well to our paramilitary work environment. And it says you can use your former military skills to help promote you through the CHP ranks. And this is what we talk about, these military mindsets. The shoot first, ask questions later. You know, if you see one guy shooting from a bus, you light up the entire bus and not try to take out just that one guy. These are the kind of tactics that we see. And also California, as well as many other states, have some pretty shady dealing with their police departments and also the sheriff's departments. You guys recall not too long ago, the Christopher Dorner situation, in which they were looking for, you know, a dark-skinned male driving, it was a white truck or something like that. But regardless, they shot at a blue truck occupied by two white women. And this is just a complete lunacy. We were looking for this guy that doesn't look anything like these women. We're looking for a single guy driving a different colored car. So let's just shoot whatever car is out here. And also, Christopher Dorner, let's burn that mother effer down. You guys recall that? So Christopher Dorner is supposedly in the cabin and he has some hostages. And you can hear the guys on the radio, the police, the sheriffs, whoever they were, saying, get the gas, burn the gas, burn that mother effer down. And then they come out on mainstream media and they say, talking to the FBI guy, well, what do you make of this? What do you make of these claims that this guy made? He said, well, I'm not exactly sure what context they were talking about. Now, let's talk about this a little more in depth. If you and I, viewer, were having a conversation that happens to be recorded by the police, and we say, hey, let's get some gas and burn that mother effer down, and 10 minutes later, the place is burning to the ground, we're going to be sitting in an interrogation room asking, being asked why we had this conversation, and then the sheriff's department comes out, and they say, what's going on? This is what the press asked, and what's going on with these quotes of your officers on the radio? And he's in the chief or the sheriff, whoever he was, he says, well, a flashbang grenade is commonly referred to as a burner. Okay, you can call it a rainbow if you want to, but that doesn't explain get the gas, and burn the mother effer down. And these are the type of paramilitary tactics that very much concern me when we talk about our neighborhood law enforcement. And that's what we'll be talking about more coming up after this break with Darren McBreen, talking about the shenanigans of the Sheriff's Department in Spokane, Washington, where they have military tactics, they have military training, military vehicles. And they're saying you, the constitutionalist, you're the problem. You, the gun owner, you're the problem as well. Stay tuned. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Sold out for weeks due to the difficult and extensive proprietary process behind its creation, the exclusive InfoWars Life Secret 12 formulation is now back in stock in the last limited shipment of 2014. The most bioactive form that has been created with our proprietary process. This ultra-clean vitamin B12 nutraceutical has been carefully crafted and developed over the last 2 years and is based on cellular science of how your body actively absorbs essential nutrients. Secret 12 is taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Vitamin B12 deficiency is linked to scores of serious problems. And Secret 12 is a fusion of two organic proprietary forms of vitamin B12, bringing you a true nutraceutical quality vitamin B12. Secret 12. Secret 12 is an excellent Christmas gift and is tailor-made to boost your New Year's resolutions. Supplies of Secret 12 are very limited. Secure yours today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. 2015 is almost here, and with it comes those New Year's resolutions to finally transform your body the way you want it. There's a reason over 88% of New Year's resolutions fail. Make this year different by equipping yourself with OxyPowder, the next level in cleansing the body naturally. Using Super Oxygenation, OxyPowder, available through InfoWarsLife.com, gently cleanses the body while you sleep with easy capsules. Tens of thousands of individuals have used OxyPowder to cleanse their bodies and aid in their transformations. Even InfoWars Nightly News Director Rob Dew has been using OxyPowder with incredible success.
Took it that first day, then I took it for six more days after that. 12 pounds melted off in about a week. I'd say a week, 7 days.
2015 can be different. Diet and exercise are important, but a lot of us have already tried that. OxyPowder flushes it out. Secure your OxyPowder at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139.
Well, they doubled down, they tripled down. Now the Spokane, Washington Sheriff's Department is outright refusing to back off the comments that they made last week. Of course, I'm referring to the deputy who said they need MRAP's military vehicles to go after the constitutionalists and the gun owners. They said, hey, these guys are stockpiling weapons and we have to be prepared for that. Then the sheriff comes out, he says, hey, you guys at InfoWars, you're hate mongers, you're taking this thing out of context. Even though I don't see how you can take that clip out of context, because you have the lady asking the question, the guy responding to the question, but somehow, according to the sheriff, that is taking it out of context. And coming up this weekend, InfoWars, as well as many other patriots, are going to be out there in Spokane, Washington, to ask the sheriff's department what exactly the hell is going on. And to more on that, we have our reporters in the field. And we're joined by Darren McBreen on the scene in Spokane Valley. Darren, tell us what's going on up there.
That's right, Shikari. We are here in occupied Spokane Valley, Washington, where recently, basically, we're investigating comments that were recently made by a Spokane County deputy who said he's basically talking about their recent acquisition of an NRAP. It's a mine-resistant vehicle used in combat situations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, now it's here in the city, and he's saying that it will be utilized to go against constitutionalists and gun owners. Now, a lot of people are very concerned, obviously, about these comments, but I'm here to tell you that this guy is simply regurgitating what he learned in training. And get this, Jakari, we recently found out that he got much of his training from the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's right. The SPLC is now training, not just here in Spokane, but all across the board, all across the United States. They are training the nation's police departments.
Yeah, and SPLC, they're the ones who like to say that everybody's a hate group, pretty much. If you don't follow their narrative, that's what's going on. And we've previously seen, I believe it was a SWAT commander in the state of Illinois, he said, yes, we need these things for all these returning veterans, these guys they know to come back home and make IEDs. I don't know if there's a rash of IEDs that aren't making the news, but this is the justification for these vehicles.
Well, that's right. And for those who aren't familiar with the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're a nonprofit organization. A lot of their funding comes from George Soros and the like, a multi-million dollar organization. They're growing every year, and every year they release their annual watch list. It's a terror watch list. It's a right-wing extremist list. And I'm going to read to you some of the people and organizations that have been listed, and this will blow your mind because some of the people that are listed as potential terrorists, as potential right-wing extremists, are Ron Paul, for example, maybe, according to them, be a right-wing extremist. There's also Chuck Baldwin. There's Alex Jones. He's public enemy number one. He's there on their list because of his massive influence with lots of people. They say he is very, very dangerous. So, and they also list, it's basically guilt by association because they do include real homegrown right-wing extremists like the KKK, Klansmen, neo-Nazis, but they mix these guys in with true American patriots, and it confuses young people like this guy who just, you know, got on the police department. He's in training. He's seeing a real threat, but then they put in Ron Paul, constitutionalists like you and I in the mix.
That's exactly right. Like you said, they have legitimate threats, and then they try to just throw in anybody else. You know, okay, so they buy this. Let's just slip in these other few guys. Now, Darren, I know you guys have a lot of stuff going on out there, so just tell us what's coming up this weekend on the Saturday.
That's right. Well, we are inviting everybody to come out this Saturday and join us, and it's going to be in Spokane Valley, right there at the police department at 2 o'clock p.m. We want to open up a dialogue. We want to communicate with not only the sheriff, but federal agencies across the board who are attempting to militarize the police. And attempting, I mean, let's just say they've done it, okay? This is an occupying force. The police departments across the board, they behave like an occupying army, and the residents of this county and all across the country, where they're getting pretty tired of it, they don't want to see MRAPs patrolling their neighborhoods, and that is the message that they are sending this Saturday, no more, and they want that thing out of here. They want that MRAP to go back to where it came from.
That's exactly right. Not just there. We see other places as well. They have them in the St. Louis, not the St. Louis, well, they have them in St. Louis, but I was going to say the San Diego school system, many other places as well. They have them at Ohio State. And a lot of people are asking, why do you guys need those things to just patrol our streets? And hopefully you guys will get somewhat of an answer this Saturday, but hopefully they will also come to their senses and realize they don't need these things for everyday situations. Well, Darren McBreen, I'll let you guys get back to work. Thank you for your time.
All right, Shakara, thank you.
Coming up after this break with a special report from Dan Bidondi and Leanne McAdoo is me asking what's going on with the NSA and the Elf on the Shelf. Stay tuned. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
The Molon Lave silver coin, certified by the Provident Mint. This one-ounce silver round is 0.999% fine silver, inspired by the legendary Spartan King Leonidas and his refusal to lay down arms in defiance of Emperor Xerxes. Molon Lave, that's Greek for come and take it. This is available now at InfoWarsStore.com. Act now as supplies are limited. And don't forget, free shipping and a free gift. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
For all of recorded history, civilizations around the world praised the health benefits of silver. At InfoWars Life, our mission is to bring you the highest quality, purest, cleanest, effective colloidal silver on the market today for the lowest price available. You don't have to be a doctor to know the fall and winter months are the most dangerous time of year in North America when it comes to you and your family's health. InfoWarsLife.com is very excited to announce our biggest run yet of Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, InfoWarsLife.com has taken colloidal silver to the next level using a cutting-edge technique that is free of toxic artificial additives. Now more than ever, it's important to stock up on high-quality Silver Bullet from InfoWarsLife.com and to help others during Christmas by teaching them about the powerful benefits of silver. Secure your silver bullet today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Elected official.
Yeah, but we the people said no. Why are they still trying to push this through? These people on the left, that's unconstitutional. That's treason, sir. You understand that? Agenda 21, that's from the United Nations. That's what you're trying to push.
Dan Bidondi, InfoWars.com, and we're in Providence, Rhode Island, where unelected officials have just taken it upon themselves to push through a draconian bill called Roadmap Rhode Island. And Roadmap Rhode Island is nothing more than the United Nations Agenda 21, and they did this without the approval of the elected officials or the registered voters.
We have towns and communities that have land that will be impacted
property that will be impacted. And if you put large groups of subsidized housing by HUD, who, by the way, get their money from the taxpayers. So, directly, we are paying for all of this, and our children will continue to pay for it. It feels like we're going to be sodomized for the rest of our lives by big government, big brother. And if you take money from these people, you're going to be married to them for the rest of your life. And your community, our children, and our lives. My kids want to leave the state of Rhode Island because they want to live there. They don't want to have to live with mom. And Governor Chafee, the numbers you quoted about unemployment, they don't take into account the people who have been unemployed for so long. They don't show up.
I do not agree with the accusations. I can understand how people have been misled by things that have been said. And I think it's very unfortunate. And I think that the people who have started the misinformation should be held accountable as well. I will vote in support because I believe it's a good plan.
It's your paycheck.
I believe. No, it's not my paycheck. I have zero job security, just so that you know.
I will vote for this plan because I think it's a good plan. It's just a plan. It doesn't rewrite the Constitution. It doesn't create laws. But it's something that I think will help Rhode Island move in a direction different from the one that you're unhappy with right now. Thank you.
Treason!
Are there any other members of the council that want to comment?
We help the communities with HUD money.
But does this money
good dialogue to happen here this morning.
But doesn't this money come with strings attached to it?
Strings attached?
As in what kind of development is subsidized or supported?
No, it was all local grown. When we went to East Natick or Tkanimikit, those communities in Warrant that were eligible for CDGB money, it was the neighbors that came and said, we want a sidewalk, we want better drainage. And that's what we did.
But this plant, in order to
Oakland
access
Beach,
some...
East Natick,
with Roadmap RI, will this plan require that communities adhere to HUD standards in order to take some of that money?
Well, there's some standards. I mean, you can't waste the money. It has to be spent according to wise parameters.
But
you want graft,
like,
and there's some good government standards.
Come to us about eminent domain, Governor. Is there anything in this plan that says we're going to take people's land?
No. The courts have ruled on behalf of property taxpayers over and over again.
Where's the vote of the people?
On private property.
Where's the vote of the people?
Over and over again. I know. I've dealt with zoning at the local level for many, many years. All the private property issues in the courts are very strong on protecting private property, as they will continue
are
to be.
So that story about the handicap ramp at the lady's house?
I don't know. I think,
think
the bike ramp went right in front of somebody's house. I suppose there's some. I don't want to refute. I think it's Mr. Stenhouse's story, but it seemed.
Where's the vote of the people on this thing?
Not common to what I've encountered here in Rhode Island.
Are you surprised?
Where's the
people?
Where's the constitutionality of this project, sir? Why isn't the people voting on this?
I'm an elected official.
Yeah, but we the people said no. Why are they still trying to push this through? These people aren't elected. That's unconstitutional. That's treason, sir. You understand that? Agenda 21, that's from the United Nations. That's what you're trying to push.
Are you surprised at the vocal opposition to that?
Yes, because we've worked so hard to have public input over the last 18 months. A lot of outreach, as you heard some testimony. I heard about it, I came out, I participated, I was welcomed immediately into the dialogue. Of course, they're here today, and that's good, expressing their opinion, so on we go.
Governor, why do you think people are against this plan?
There's some against it and some for it. I was very happy to hear those that are expressing their opinions. They're a lot in favor. I'm sure if you were here, you heard this also.
Is this not a violation of the Constitution, sir? Eminent domain?
Yeah,
yes, it is, sir. It's treason.
Then there'd be lawyers taking us to court.
No, this is treason, sir.
Happening.
This is Agenda 21 by the United Nations. We are onto this.
Governor, are you ready?
That's high treason,
sir.
That's a governor of Rhode Island, folks.
Do they need to vote on it?
I don't think so, okay.
These people here supporting high treason against the Constitution of the United States. Private property rights are trying to distinct.
No, of course not.
Are there any members of the council at this time?
We the people, Governor, not we the officials. We the people.
The Constitution comes for us. We will not comply with the rule of Map Rhode Island.
How are you an investigative reporter and challenging him about We the People?
Because
really
this is pure unconstitutional here.
What's unconstitutional about it?
Eminent domain. I mean, do you not
there's
know?
There's nothing in the plan that talks about eminent domain.
There's a lot in the plan that talks about that.
Playing to our strengths, which people is need to the read. Opposite
part, that's a good thing. So I plan to vote in favor of the plan. So with that, I'll take a motion to approve the plan. Mr. Flores, Marzan, you have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, make a motion to adopt the State of Rhode Island Draft Road Map, Rhode Island Economic Development Plan. Let's move into the future.
Motion's been made. Is there a second on the motion? Director Lewis seconds the motion to approve the plan. Is there any further discussion from the council at this time? Hearing none, I will call the roll.
And Rhode Island has just witnessed today the birth of Agenda 21.
Agenda 21 is the action plan to destroy your sovereignty, and that is your personal sovereignty and your national sovereignty. This is the green mask, the environmental mask. Because if you are terrified that you're killing the planet, you will be willing to accept any restriction.
Hold on, you understand. We are not going to comply by rule now. We will not comply. All right? It's called 1776.
This man's really an
agitator. No, I'm just doing my job.
Get you out of here.
With the press, you can say whatever you want.
How's it feel to bottle on Agenda 21 by the UN?
I'm sorry. No comment.
No comment? You should wear a Nazi lapel next time you come into the press. Because all you support a communist Nazi Agenda 21.
We don't trust the government. We're tired.
Well, here's one that just sold us out right here. Well, Mr. Comment, how you sold the
press? Oh, Ava. I tell you what, you're not representing all of the women out. You're not representing all of the voters in your area. Because I tell you what, when you get up and you say you represent the people in South Kingstown, you don't. Yet again, when the pensions of the old people, I'm 77, my brother is 73, when you go in and because of a puddle, HUD wants to come in in a puddle or standing water for 40 days or a pond. They need that pond. You've got a lot to learn. And I tell you what, I'm going to be there to teach you.
My book, Behind the Green Mask, is a great way to educate yourself. You want to give this information to your legislators. Let them know about this if they don't know. And if they aren't willing to refuse to go along with the federal grants, with the plans, with the projects, then take them out. Remove them from office. And do this locally.
Were you thinking the elf on a shelf was just a playful way to get your kids to behave in the days leading up to Christmas? Well, think again. According to a digital tech professor, you're actually conditioning your kids to accept the surveillance state. Think about it. He's always watching your kids. He reports back to a higher authority. He'll dole out goodies if they behave. And if not, their name goes on the no-fly or the naughty list. Are you teaching your kids that you're the boss or some unseen authority is the boss? In her recently published paper titled, Who's the Boss?, Laura Pinto says the idea of the doll reporting back to Santa each night sets up children for dangerous, uncritical acceptance of power structures. It teaches kids that it's okay to be spied on and you shouldn't have any expectation of privacy. Now, considering the fact that children have been told for years that Santa's making a list and checking it twice, Pinto's probably just being paranoid. But this kind of conditioning behavior isn't unique to the elf on the shelf. We've seen blatant conditioning like this in cartoons like Disney's Shutterbug Time. Camera-equipped ladybugs spy on kids and then report back to a central authority. This introduction to the new totalitarian society is benign, though, because the snooper is just a cute little ladybug who only spies because she loves you. This is, of course, predictive programming to get your children to accept the coming drone surveillance state, which we warned you about in 2007. DARPA researchers were working on injecting computer chips into moth pupa and then hatching them into sophisticated cyborg moths, literal shutterbugs. Now, if you aren't aware, predictive programming is a technique that's based on planting ideas and concepts in the brains of viewers so that they'll seem normal and more easily accepted when they actually happen. The Vigilant Citizen took an in-depth look at iconic 80s cartoon G.I. Joe and found a strange case of predictive programming. In the first G.I. Joe episode ever aired, titled Pyramid of Darkness, Cobra seeks to take control of the world by shutting down the power grid of the Northern Hemisphere. Other episode plots include the replacement of the U.S. dollar, confiscating citizens' gold, and the usage of mind control on civilians and MK Ultra in the entertainment business.
Cobra is real. You can call it whatever you want. Cobra is in control of America.
I am Supreme Cobra Commander. You call your petty bureaucrats, officials, and authorities, you will kneel before Cobra or face my wrath.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Well, that's it for our show tonight. Be sure to stop by PrisonPlanet.tv, where you can get a full year for $29.95. That is a great offer to share with your friends and family. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.